SBS Radio.
Matthew, welcome to ITV Radio.
Thank you very much for having me here, Bertrand. I think we suddenly get a bit of a roll on with our episode 10. It's a good milestone, I think, having the first zero at the end of our episode number.
Yeah, that's good to have, actually, more than we're going into the double digits now, which is a really big milestone. And the topic of the day, contractor agreement. What is a contractor agreement, Matthew?
I'd also like to start off our Tell Me Law program and continue the tradition in first giving our acknowledgement and respect to the traditional owners of the land in which we're in today, and the First Nations people that might be listening to our program, and all of our elders, past, present and future.
What's a contractor agreement?
So contractor's agreement is essentially, it's a formal or formal, meaning it can be either in a verbal form or a written form, because all contracts can be made verbally as well, although it's strongly advised that a written contract is always a better form in terms of certainty and a whole bunch of other reasons that mean that it's a more powerful legal standpoint. So the best way to have a contract agreement is in that written form, but it's essentially a contract between the principal, so the business or company, and the contractor itself. Either that principal that I mentioned and also the contractor, either or both of those can be natural people or they can be corporate entities. The contractor agreement is essentially there to form the legally binding relationship and sets out what work the contractor is going to do on behalf of that, you know, principal business. The particular relevance, though, is that Indigenous businesses or Indigenous-owned corporations can be contractors or they can be principals.
So when do they need a contractor agreement exactly?
A contractor agreement is important for business, specifically because as businesses grow, they start bringing more people on board. And it's very common for people to come on board in that contractor capacity. As soon as a person needs to come on board to do some work for a particular business and to help out, you know, those small businesses. So, for example, there's a lot of smaller Indigenous businesses. Once they come out and start growing, the contractor agreement should be written and put into place because it sets out the standard and the level of the goods and services that are going to be required. And having a formalised agreement can also help to ensure that there's alignment between the contractor and also, you know, a business owner's mission, products that are delivered, service. And it's really important to remember that contractor agreements can really help to ensure that contractors are providing a level of, you know, service or products as a business grows. And that can be on a job-by-job basis, or contractors can be engaged on a more broad-scale contractual arrangement.
Are there key clauses that need to be included in a contractor's agreement?
Absolutely, Bertrand. There's always going to be differences between the different types of contractor agreements because no two businesses are exactly the same. No two people are exactly the same, and no two contractors are exactly the same either. With that in mind, there are still some key clauses that you'll see in most, if not all, contractor agreements. I mean, the very first one of those is having the parties and clauses regarding a party specifically set out. So saying, in accordance with the legal requirements, exactly who is the head contractor or the principal. If it's a company, we'll set out the ACN of that company, or we'll have to set out the full company name. Or if it's a principal where the head business is engaging the contractor, and that head business is owned, say, in a sole trader type structure, well, then the individual owner of that sole trader will be specifically named as a party. But so too will the contractor be named as a party. You also need to make sure that there's the term of the agreement specifically set out. So when does the contract actually commence? When does it end? That's really, really important to have in there. The contract is always going to be engaged to provide some level of service or product. So there needs to be some clauses about that, including the quality, delivery dates, performance obligations. They need to be included in the contract or agreement. Payment terms, because the contractor comes on board, again, to provide those goods or services, and they get paid for that. Meaning, terms around payment are really, really important. That's the contractor's benefit that they're getting from the contract. So it's really important to have those payment terms in there. For the principal, their intellectual property needs to be protected, and so does confidential information. So, you know, a contractor will come aboard doing some work on behalf of that principal business or company, and in that it's common for intellectual property and confidential information to pass in one way or another. So there needs to be protections in the agreement to actually ensure that confidential information remains confidential and intellectual property is safe as well.
And
there's some of the key clauses, Bertrand.
Yeah, those are really very, very important to jot down and remember in any contract that one gets into, especially the term, you know, when it starts and when it ends. There's also the price, price clauses. Should contract agreements have price clauses?
Absolutely. You know, I like to think of all types of contracts, including contractor agreements, as being of great benefit, even in terms of bringing clarity to the parties. The contract agreement having price clauses means that it's very, very clear between the parties how much is going to be paid, when that payment is going to occur, you know, and also to be able to see whether there's a default. So by having price clauses in the contractor agreement, it actually can help the contractor. So just say there's a Indigenous business out there who is engaged as a contractor and they might not have been paid on a particular job. Well, it's very easy to see if that head principal under that contractor agreement is in breach by either not paying the amount of as specified in that contractual price clause or by not paying on time. And really good price clauses will set out a process as to what happens if there is a default.
There's also confidentiality. You mentioned it earlier. How can confidentiality be protected?
Confidentiality is really important. And even sometimes, I mean, I was saying before about confidentiality clauses benefiting and protecting confidential information of the principal. But the subcontractor, the contractor itself under that agreement might also have confidential information that needs to be protected. So for Indigenous business owners out there, whether you're signing an agreement as the principal or the contractor, think about your confidential information that might be passing. Now, the way that it can be protected is, first of all, there can be clauses in a contract or agreement, but second of all, confidentiality can also be protected by having a separate confidential or what's otherwise known as a non-disclosure agreement. Yeah. But in the context of a contractor's agreement, confidentiality clauses set out exactly what is defined and what is that confidential information. And it also sets out the fact that information shouldn't be disclosed. So it's really best practice to have that type of confidentiality in place. And it also is really important to remember, Bertrand, that in all contracts, particularly when it comes down to confidentiality, one of the best protections is to enter into the contract with someone you can trust. Because if you can trust the person, you can probably trust that they're going to keep information confidential for you as well.
You mentioned the terms of the contract, the beginning and the end. And this brings to mind termination rights.
I was also mentioning the term of the contract,
yeah,
being, you know, the commencement date being specifically set out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the end date, that's right, the end date needs to be set out as well. Termination rights are a little bit more than that, because termination clauses themselves set out expressly in written form in that written contract where the contract arrangement can be automatically brought to an end. So some of these situations can be upon a specific event. So for example, just say a principal under that contract or agreement goes into liquidation. Well, it doesn't make sense for the contractor to be continuing in their work. So that's an example of a specific event that can cause the contract or agreement to terminate. Also, if there's specifically important conditions that aren't met, say the contract is not paid, well, that's a key clause. Just say you've got a contract that's gone over many, many months or even years. If the contract is not paid by a particular due date and there's significant amounts of money outstanding, the contract itself can set out those circumstances where the contractor can determine that the contract agreement has come to an end. And that's a really important point, because the contractor would be unfairly prejudiced if it had to continue in that contractual arrangement.
Another thing that comes to mind is contractors and employees. There's a fine line sometimes between the two categories. What's the difference between the two?
It sometimes can be tricky to work out who is a contractor and who is an employee. And in that trickiness, sometimes I've seen business owners get themselves into trouble because there's a whole heap of statutory obligations that apply when you hire an employee as opposed to when you hire a contractor. There's additional, you know, taxation obligations, superannuation obligations, you know, work cover, different awards then can kick into place. There's a lot more in terms of obligations. The difficulty is there's no absolute hard and fast rule that you can look at to say when somebody is a contract and when they're an employee. But courts or tribunals, when asked for the question, they look at the overall relationship and the number of factors, and depending on those factors, then courts will determine somebody's a contractor or an employee. So for example, if there's a high level of control over how and when the work's going to be done, if there's a strong expectation of permanent ongoing work, if all the risk is with the person hiring, if there's tools, materials, equipment that's being provided, if the payment method occurs with specific pay slips, and also depending on the award requirements and how they're met in terms of annual leave, superannuation, and also taxation and how that's applied. Those types of factors are what determine whether somebody is a contractor or an employee. The ATO has some really helpful information about this on its website. If in doubt, it's really good to get specific legal advice or speak with an accountant, because you don't want to be in a situation where you've hired somebody and they're actually an employee, but you've treated them as a contractor, and then get in trouble with the courts or with the ATO, for example.
Most definitely, so that's something to look into. Now, before I let you go, do you have a takeaway quote to share with the listeners?
Absolutely, Bertrand. I really enjoy sharing some inspirational quotes at the end of our Tell Me Law episodes. I want to share this quote. This is by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And he said, "Play by the rules, but be ferocious." I think that applies well when we look at the differences between contractors and employees. So, you can be ferocious, be brave, but just make sure that you're playing by the rules, complying with all the legal obligations set out in the contractor's agreement and also set out in legislation, for example, when determining whether someone's a contractor or an employee.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.